Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Unlimited Life. Today we have such a special guest. We have somebody that I have been connected with for years, and I am so honored and so privileged and so overjoyed that he's joining me today. So today we are talking with Hugh Charlson, who is a simple man with a very big message, and I so look forward to this call. Hugh, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Nicole. I first came into contact with you in 2008, and this is something part of what I want people to understand, that time always shows where somebody's coming from, and all you have ever shown me is beautiful, unconditional love to mankind, and that really starts with yourself. But when I read your story, I was coming to one of the most difficult times of my life, having lost my earth angel wife, who, God bless me, was 35 and a half years, who taught me the lesson of unconditional love. And then a month and a half after she died, I almost died. I relocated from Long Island down to Virginia and ended up recovering and wondering what I'm doing with my life. Who comes into my life with this beautiful angel, Nicole Brandon, and tears just streamed down my face when I read your story. But it is such a beautiful story and such a beautiful, loving spirit. It just shows that love is truly what we're here to learn and to bless each other with. And you do it so beautifully. And I have mentioned on a blog, it's the word creativity777.com. There's an archive that can be downloaded from where it says America's New Transformational Economy based upon Cal's Corporate Opportunity website. And I always love to say that Nicole has got more talent than her pinky fingers at the 20 top executives. So I hope that people will hear this and keep coming back to every single show that you have in the archives and all the shows upcoming. But I'm going to let you speak in a minute. We'll have fun. I want to take some callers too, but I just want to cover a couple little things with losing some very powerful, loving spirits. We just lost Maya Angelou. She gave so much to this world. And in April, I lost a dear friend who I would like to acquaint you with her, the fiancé of this gentleman. And he actually has two websites. One is heavenstoearth.com. The other one is heavenstoearthart.com. His name is Alan Silverheart, and he, the heavenstoearth.com, about 15 years, he interviewed spiritual people from all over the world, including Dr. Michael Beckwith, who I know you know. And so I'm hoping his widow, Bianca Child, may eventually interview you for that project. And the Heaven to Earth Art Project is a beautiful way to bring more peace and love into the world when people go onto the site and see these beautiful artworks coming to them all over the world. It's just another way we can bring more healing to the world.
Thank you. And you, I'm going to jump in just for a second because your voice is just a little tingy, and I want to make sure that people get all this information that you're sharing. So the email that you're sharing is heavenandearth.com is the website that you're sending people to, correct?
Two different websites. The first is heaventoearth.com.
Heaventoearth.com, okay.
And the second is heaventoearthart.com. And the gentleman who's passed is Alan Silverheart, S-I-L-B-E-R-H-A-R-T-C. And he's another New Yorker.
That's fantastic. And, you know, I was looking at your WordPress site, which is just amazing, which is www.hughcharlson.wordpress.com. And there was so much that I learned about you and about everything that you stand for, and through the years, from your work with the indigenous people to your empowerment of women to the fact that you're a veteran to this beautiful poem that you wrote for your wife. So first I'd like to just touch on your being a veteran, because for those of you that are listening from other countries, that are listening from Malta, New Zealand, South Africa, all of you that we have out there that I'm so honored and blessed that you're listening to our show, we just had Memorial Day here in the United States, which is a time for us to pause and to give great gratitude and thanks to those who have served our country so beautifully and have stood for its freedom. And so what is Memorial Day like for you, and what is it like now for all the vets that are coming back and the work that you do?
Well, this past Memorial Day was very interesting because my oldest daughter and my new son-in-law took me out to dinner at Hanover Tavern. And Hanover Tavern is actually where George Washington and a lot of other famous people, including Patrick Henry, used to go. So the ghost was there with me, and I'm looking at this year as a tremendous transformational year for mankind to go into a whole new paradigm, which you constantly do without saying, and that's the unconditional love. We have had, since the beginning of time, control, conquer, and divide. With today's technologies, with caring and sharing with one another, we don't have to go there anymore. It starts with yourself, and you teach people so beautifully with Pilates how to heal the body. All these veterans, I hope, will be able to learn more about working that into the healthcare system, because your work is so powerful and so beautiful. And then there's other things, too, that I would like to see done in a more holistic way, because medications may alleviate the pain temporarily, but they're toxic. They build up in the system over time. So even getting some of the programs that are having veterans going out horseback riding or trout fishing, that's really healing the PTSD at the same time as getting out in nature and just letting Mother Earth help heal them and bring them back to peace. And we don't want any more wars. So we really have to look at what Gandhi said, be the change that you want in the world. So start with yourself. Listen to Nicole's shows. Listen to the beautiful people that she constantly interacts with. And she's such a beautiful student and learns from everybody and brings it back in the most powerful ways. So that's where I hope more and more people will go for what's coming very quickly for our future. And not to go into a rage, not to blame people. Take personal responsibility and think of the children, the generations to come, your own children. There are things that I'm doing with my business partner, Dr. Ed Maloney, that I'll make people more aware of as their free time and interest allows, and we will create a whole new global economy. My big mission and vision as it came to me is to bring spirituality into global economics, combine it with unconditional love, make everything transparent, ethical, legal, moral, force companies to be more responsible for their employees, their customers, the environment, and the community, in the process, empower women and indigenous people globally. And getting back to Veterans Day, too, back in 2008, and it's in the PDF file on the blog, creativity777.com, I created a mission statement that I actually launched over on a television program, Washington Journal, C-SPAN Television, and read it over the airwaves. It's never meant to be an organization, but it's meant to be something organizations or absolutely anybody can read and contemplate and then do things in memory of our fallen heroes, not just on certain days, but every single day, to help get America back on track and be the beacon for the rest of the world with freedom, liberty, and justice for all. Even if you can only just say a prayer, that's powerful. That's an action that goes out into the universe. And mothers and grandmothers that sometimes aren't on the front line, those prayers are even more powerful than soldiers on the front line. So there again, I thank you for the opportunity to say that. And I just want to...
And thank you so much for your service, too. And I did want to say that, because I know even for myself, on Memorial Day, I was with my parents, and I said to my dad, thank you for your service. You know, I don't know if anybody tells you that, and it's been so many years since you're back, but I wanted to say, as your daughter and as someone who lives the life that I live on this planet in this country with the freedoms that we have. Thank you for your service.
Yes, and there are a lot of things that have to be rooted out again. Corruption is so prevalent all over the place, so that's where we have to bring things into the light and create the world that we want, not the world that somebody's dictating to us. So with all the craziness going on with this spying and the Edward Snowden and everything, I'm also a whistleblower, but I do believe in God, and I put my faith totally in God's hands. With horrible things happen, and I've had them happen, it always worked out. And I don't have to run outside my country and be giving to the enemy secrets that
I mean, I read somewhere, Hugh, that you asked Jesus Christ to be your business partner.
Yes. And
I love that.
Well, I love that you love that, Nicole, because when people hear me say Jesus Christ, they go, oh, boy, religion. Let me get away from this. No, 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 no. In fact, I don't think Jesus would have liked a lot of the religions, but I'm a very simple man. I like to break things down to the most simplest, basic thing possible. Jesus gave two things on how people should live their life. That's always to put God first. That's your faith. That's what sees you through anything. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. If you can do that, then you're right on track with your whole life. Beyond that, if you can find a passion, something that really excites you, that you can bless other people with, those blessings will continually come back to you and grow and grow, and you'll be in bliss. And I work 100-hour weeks, and I found things to do to test the wings. And the experiences I had were bizarre. I mean, I've had UFO, paranormal, and near-death experiences. A UFO is a UFO. That's why they call it that. I don't know what it was. Nobody came out off to be a green cocktail. I just waved at the ship as it went by. But the paranormal, again, what I can't control, I let go and I let God. And there again, it always worked out in the best way possible. It may not seem like that when you're going through it, but that's, again, where I say time will always show where you're coming from. And I know in the beginning, when I first came into contact with you, you probably thought, who's this wacko guy?
No, I actually never thought that, Hugh. You have been, from the moment I met you, one of the most constant beings and lights on this planet. And I always equate it to being a lighthouse, because the lighthouse sheds light not just on the cruise liners, not just on these big exotic ships, but on the fishing boats and on the little, you know, power boats and the little canoes and on everything that comes by. The lighthouse sheds light onto everything, and from the smallest to the largest, and the lighthouse never moves. The lighthouse is a constant source of light, and it's a pinnacle, and it's a place that we can always count on to be able to guide our way. And you, to me, are a lighthouse since the very day I met you. You shed light on so many things on this planet with such glory, and you stand your ground, and you never go anywhere, and you never do anything except illuminate the way for everybody to be able to pass and to be able to find where they're going and to get from one place to the next. And I love, I was reading something about you saying that you were a conduit, that you really are a conductor to all of these energies and to all of these thoughts and to all of these thought leaders. And to me, you are just one of those beautiful, blessed people that's ever been put here for us. So thank you so much.
Red. Thank you. But you truly have been a total inspiration to me. I came into contact with you in 2008. And what has held us together, too, is somebody who I know you love dearly, and I want to make sure his name gets mentioned, and that's Julius Michael. He really, you know, when I first left a message for you, you called back and left a message. We were playing phone tag. And then I saw a picture of you and Julian when you were attending the opening of Leonardo DiCaprio movie at the 11th hour. And so I called Julian, and he said, well, Nicole's not here. I said, yes, she's down next with you. So he thought I knew you.
That's how, funny.
I said, yes, she's down there teaching the butterflies how to become more beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you for that. Thank you so much. It was funny because when I went into the jungle, there was a native with the machete and with the face paint, and he would step and he would swing the machete and you know, create a pathway for us to take the next step. And I went off into the rainforest with this indigenous leader to go work with the women in the rainforest. And the fields were higher than my head. They were higher than the trees. And so I was virtually invisible as I was going off. But I could hear one of my colleagues' voices back in the village. And as I was going off in the rainforest, he said, "They're going to keep Nicole." And it was so funny because I could hear that as I was forging off into the fields. But
they have the holograms. Everybody can keep you, right? You can send them all over.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then I was also reading that you have, it says, the creative utilization. And as a writer, I have to tell you, those two words put together are luscious. But it said the creative utilization of empowering women. And that in itself is such a powerful sentence and thought. So talk to me about your creative, I'm going to just walk around my house and say creative utilization. Talk to me about your creative utilization of empowering women.
Creative utilization of information. We have an information glut, but there's never enough information for me. I just take bits and pieces. And when I know somebody's interested, I start weaving things together from my environment and actually create opportunities out of nothing. It's a skill that I developed many years ago, and it just gives me bliss. I'm like a bloodhound on a trail when I'm looking for something. But I'll give you a couple of little tiny examples related to that. I think you know Tom Brokaw's daughter, Sarah Brokaw, authored a book titled The Fortitude. Well, she was on The View with Barbara Walters. I just went into my web browser. I don't even have a computer. I just have a web browser on my cell phone. I Googled her name. I found the phone number. I was going to call and leave a voicemail for her. The phone rang. She actually picked it up. She was changing her clothes after her live appearance on The View and quickly gave the phone to her PR person or whatever. But then it started me looking at her background a little bit and going, oh, my goodness, look at this. It was around the time that Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver were breaking up, and looking at their background, looking at her background, Tom Brokaw, her father, actually did the initial introduction of Arnold Schwarzenegger to Maria Shriver at a tennis match that Ethel Kennedy had, a charity tennis match. Now, they didn't get married for about 8 years after that, but that's a little bit piece of the history that you never even realize. And another thing along those lines, my mother was a supermodel who actually was asked to pose for pictures as the Blessed Mother in Our Lady's Seat of Wisdom Chapel at Marist College in Poughkeepsie, New York. And this may humble him a little bit, I hope, but if you Wikipedia Bill O'Reilly of Fox News and the O'Reilly Factor, he was a student at Marist College. So in essence, every time he went into the chapel to pray, my mother was looking down on him. I love to have a little humor.
Wow.
Before
great.
Those biases, callers, I'd love to interact with them, with you, but I also just want to ask people to, and I hope you'll put it as a link, the movie Red Cry, C-R-Y, it's YouTube, it's free. It's all about the Lakota Indigenous people, what they're going through still. And my business partner, Dr. Ed Maloney, spelled M as in Mary, O-L-O-N as in Nancy, E-Y. If you go to his website, attractingabetterlife.com, he just authored a book titled A Voice in the Wilderness, and Dr. Maloney's actually donating 100% of the profits of the sale of the book to the gentleman he wrote the book about. So that's people helping people, and that's what we really need to do. And I'm looking to show the gurus it's time to get off the mountains. And you can't take the billions with you, so just if you know and believe in the law of attraction, it will prove itself out. Give it back where it needs to be and bless other people. It will keep coming back. You already know that, but other people listening may not.
Oh, I so appreciate this information. This is so great. And I love attracting a better life, Doc. I mean, just the idea of being able to attract a better life. It's interesting because we have Tiffany Cano on tomorrow, who is one of the top intuitive healers ever. I mean, she is so amazing. And we were talking today about tomorrow's relationship show and about how there are pieces of us that, you know, that we don't even realize are awake, and how we touch those pieces and how they work with us in such magnificent ways. And so I'm so glad you're touching on this today, and I'm so glad that we're talking about attracting a better life and that, you know, we're going to have him on, and this is just such a wonderful subject to be talking about. And I love that you choose Jesus Christ as your business partner, that you choose Dr. Maloney as your business partner, that you pick all these people, that your beautiful wife who inspired you so for so many years was your partner, and that you were so generous in the sharing of your glorified information and your heart and your message and your beauty to the world, and that you give other people credit along with you, not just you yourself as the divine source of information, but that it is those that you stand beside and with and for that are helping fuel this incredible fountain of love and light that you instill into the world. And I have to tell you, I really do, you know, honor you for that.
Well, I've had a number of people say to me, why don't you get your own spoon? And I love telling them, I have no desire to be the next Oprah Winfrey, but if behind the scenes I can make 500 or 1,000 more Oprahs around the world, that's what I'm about. So I will step out and I'll say things where I feel it needs to be said, standing in my truth. And I just love what you just said, Nicole, related to your guest coming on tomorrow. I have a big mission that I didn't even realize how huge it was, and that's probably why my Earth Angel was taken from me, because I was told she would be a distraction to me and what I have to do. And then when I became disabled, it gave me the time to look back over the bizarre stuff I've had. I mean, I've been places, I've seen things. I was in Cuba when Castro overthrew Batista. We had to get out of an emergency flight. And I was at Union Carbide guarding them in the war room when Bhopal was gas leak over in India happened. And I've been falsely accused, set up in so many different things, but there's where the faith comes in. But related to somebody's mission, it doesn't have to be big. I always love to give this example, and it plays to my heart every time I think about it. When I first got out of the service, I went to stay with my grandmother. His grandmother's coming in again, in a rent-controlled apartment on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. They didn't have washer and dryers in the buildings in those days. I went to a local laundromat. When I finished, as I was leaving, I noticed a little old lady coming. I held the door open for her and wished her a good morning. She burst into tears. It felt like a knife went into my gut, and I said, sorry, did I do something wrong? She said, no one had been so kind to her. If that was my whole mission in life, I accomplished it beautifully. So don't look for something grandiose, but just be the change that you want to see in the world, and learn to love yourself and ripple that out into your family, into the community. Let's stop the racial baloney. Let's embrace our differences. Let's preserve these indigenous heritages that have passed down matriarchally for thousands of years that we're losing. They know how to heal Mother Earth. Let's let them help us do that.
Absolutely. It's interesting that you just said that, Hugh, because I, you know, I help people all the time. I mean, every minute of every second of every day, you know, my entire goal is to help people. And I don't set out in the morning, you know, on this, okay, you know, here are the 10 people I have to help, or the 100 people are going to this, you know, this mission or this place. I just ask to be used, you know, and so I see things that other people don't see, you know, a man on crutches, you know, trying to carry luggage. There's a woman trying to open a coin purse with arthritis, whatever that is, but I cannot tell you how many times I've gone to somebody that's a young woman trying to put a wheelchair with a teenager into a van, or somebody trying to put their husband or their wife in a wheelchair into a car, and I'll go over and say, can I help you? And they always say the same thing. No one ever offers. No one ever offers. That, to me, is the most dumbfounding statement that anybody could ever say to me. How is that possible that no one ever offers when you see somebody struggling to put a wheelchair into a car or into a vehicle or to help somebody? It doesn't even make sense to me how nobody can offer.
Well, you're a superwoman anyway, because I never even realized that you have an invisible cape you put on. You put your time when you bring somebody out was being carjacked or something. Unbelievable story. I don't remember all the details, but you put yourself in the other person's shoes, and when you see something that isn't right, and it's funny you should even bring this stuff up, because I walk around my independent apartment building to exercise on my first lap today when I turn the corner. So I say, oh, please, call 911. A woman, as he said, has fallen down at the curb, and I wasn't sure if she broke anything, but I just went in and called 911 to get the ambulance system, where they came and shared what they had to. Evidently, it was okay, but that's where you step in gladly, because that will come back to help you someday. You never know when you'll need help. And I guess it's related to karma, too, what you put out to get back.
But it's just funny to hear people's comments. It's funny that you mentioned the carjacking, because I hadn't thought about that in years. But I do remember, for those of you, you know, that are new to me in my world, yes, I stopped the carjacking many years ago. And the guy was a three-time offender. He was wanted for armed robbery. He had just robbed the restaurant and was trying to steal the car as a getaway car. And I stopped it and saved the man that he was carjacking. Saved his life. But they, when I went to court, I had to go to court because he was a three-time offender to say, yes, he was the guy. And the judge had said to me, weren't you afraid he had a gun? Weren't you afraid he had a knife? Weren't you afraid he had... And I said, no, I just saw him hurting somebody and I had to stop it. And the judge said, young lady, nobody stops the carjacking. And he said, you know, the Los Angeles Police Force would like to offer you a position. And they offered me a job as a cop. And I was like, well, I kind of have this other life, but thank you for the offer. But it was funny, you know, that the judge said that nobody stops the carjacking.
Well, again, that's something that you did as a way shower, so hopefully when another situation arises, it doesn't have to be the same thing, and other people, if they heard this, they won't have, oh, did it, I think.
That's it. Nicole in her heels and her sundress. Talk to me about your poem, because I know that you wrote, you know, a short poem with one of the biggest messages that's ever existed, and this one poem that you wrote has extended through countries, through timelines, through people's lives, through careers, through infinite invisible lines and barriers and walls and borders, and it is something that it doesn't matter what field, what occupation, what age, your poem has somehow touched lives in every area possible.
Well, you talked about the poem Caring, Sharing. It's only three lines long. It's the title, Caring, Sharing. It reads, if you dare to care, then share. If you share, pay heed. God will reward every good deed. And if you truly contemplate it, it will force you to do something to help someone less fortunate than yourself. And when you do that, you're actually blessing yourself, as Jesus said. So I initially composed it. I was out in nature, and that's what I keep telling people to do. I keep saying that nature is God's classroom. Get out in it. It'll lower your stress level and heighten your awareness when you just look at the miracles all around you. And I have something very special, and you would be just the perfect one to help me get this out eventually. You could do a little e-book on it. But I want to use this poem to begin the true spirituality and global economics and have it help the people of Haiti who can't help themselves. And there's a whole story why I came to pick Haiti before that, which I'll talk to you. There's not enough time on this show to get into all the details, but it could be a lovely little e-book that can, I'd love to get someone like you that already is well known, that could get even known even more in different ways, to bring in the spirituality of the global economic with unconditional love. The way I'm eventually seeing it manifesting is to have somebody take the licensing opportunity on it. I don't want a penny out of it. I just want to be known as the one that had the idea and the creator of the poem, and have this poem be put on T-shirts and coffee mugs and posters and utilized by any company or nonprofit, that just have it translated into different languages and go all around the world. And a percentage of all the sales of the items be ongoing to help the people of Haiti who can't help themselves through nonprofits and church ministries. So that's my overall end game with the idea of the poem, but it just came to me, and it really sums up what I felt my life should be all about. And I don't even consider myself a poet. My mother was truly the poet in the family, but I do from time to time compose some. I have another one that I'd love to read if you have. If that's
okay.
Oh,
I would love that. Thank you, Hugh.
This one is actually geared more toward the senior people, and it's titled Mind, M-I-N-E, Your Mind, M-I-N-D. And it goes, mind your mind, and you may find new gems to be discovered and uncovered. A cure for illness and the end of poverty are just two examples of what may come when someone minds their mind. Perhaps that someone is you. Ask God to guide you, and you will see unlimited possibilities and opportunities. Be kind as you open your mind, and you will learn to care and share. Once you become aware, you can change this world through love and understanding. It's not too late, but don't hesitate. For today is tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes. At the end of your days, will you be in a haze, or give a bequest to the rest? A poem, an invention, or a solution to pollution are awaiting to be mined. It's all up to you to mind your mind and help in the betterment of all mankind. Good luck, and may God bless you. And God bless you, Nicole, that you are doing exactly what the poem says.
Oh, Hugh, that's just beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much. I mean, just remarkable. And I just wanted to once again read your caring sharing if I can, because I just want to make sure that people are hearing it clearly. And it was, if you dare to care, then share. If you share, pay heed. God will reward every good deed, correct?
Exactly right. Beautifully said. Thank you.
Just beautiful. And they can find that poem right on creativity777.com?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, and this other poem is just extraordinary. I mean, just, and you shared this, I remember, during 9/11, didn't you, the caring sharing poem?
I did. I don't like to out myself too much, but I gave myself a couple of different labels, because I don't have the fear. I know you don't either, Nicole, but we have a common, and we both had near-death experiences as well as Julian. I think that comes into play more, too, with the consciousness. That has to be something that really has to be looked at, because we are more attuned to the different dimensions, the spiritual and the physical. But, yes, I actually read the poem when 9/11 happened. I was on Long Island. I actually had my oldest daughter attending NYU. She didn't know what was going on, whether she'd live or die. But I put this out over the airwaves as a weapon against terrorism. And it truly is, when you, again, contemplate it, go to that place of unconditional love by caring and sharing with each other, because love is God energy. That's the most powerful energy there is. But I also put myself out there as a deep, undercover anti-terrorist operative, and I put terrorists in fear when they hear my code name. My code name is Little Thinker.
It's great.
I like that little humor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I also love, when I was reading, you also talk about dropping the fear. And as you're talking about 9/11 and anti-terrorism, can you talk a little bit about dropping the fear and living a life that doesn't have that fear involved?
Yes, because what is the worst thing that can happen is not so bad at all. We have to really focus on our spirituality, because we all did come from spirit, and we are going to go back into spirit, no matter if you're 100 or 50 or whatever your time and your mission is over and you're called home. I believe that we are fully accountable for everything, every moment we spent here, and that we're supposed to learn unconditional love, and when we learn that, we're supposed to bless others with that. So fear has no room in that kind of logic in my mind. And I have this woman who I've mentioned to you. She puts out love so beautifully, but it's a mask. And behind the scenes, she's in fear, and she can't receive love. That's the saddest part to me. And I guess they haven't found a cure for what narcissism is, but I look for miracles in that regard, and I ask the people to pray for this woman, because if she can get her act together and we can work together, what a story. It will be a blockbuster book and movie either way, but I would like it to go to that unconditional love, even if I never met her. I've never met you in person, but you're in my heart. You're in my prayers. You're an inspiration. You're my muse. You don't have to physically meet anybody, but she has touched me, body, mind, and spirit, and I think somewhere in the depths of her heart she knows, but because believe it or not, too, I do believe that there is darkness, and what we're doing is bringing more light into the world, and I don't want to get off on too many tangents, but with my creativity and the way information flows to me, I just want to throw out something just to open people's minds in that regard a little bit. We currently have some problems getting into the sports world with the team owners. Donald Sterling of the L.A. Clippers is doing the racial slurs and things. Then we have the indigenous people with the Washington Redskins. They're not too happy having that name around for a long time. And the owner of that is Daniel Snyder. Now, if you look at their names, Donald Sterling and Daniel Snyder, both the first name starts with D, and the last name starts with S. They're acting in a demonic and a satanic way. And going back a little further in history, you have Reverend Jim Jones, who sort of did a job with his Kool-Aid party in Guyana, and then the wacko Terry Jones down in Florida, who almost started World War III with the burning of the Koran. So we have to really focus on our own life and being a loving human being instead of being caught up in the drama that we can be drawn into very easily by taking sides and just, whatever it is. We have to learn love. And that's, again, why I keep bringing it back to you, because that's all you have to teach.
Absolutely. And I know, everything is energy specific, and so I don't want anybody to think that we have the DS and that is, I'll mark on who they are if they are Diana Smith or something, because certainly love energy flows everywhere, as dark energy, chases the light. And I love the fact that you talk about losing the fear. And I love the fact that you talk about the UFOs and your near-death experience and the paranormal, and that you could enter all these worlds fearlessly. And I think that that's amazing. And the fact that you really have had such an outreach to so many different things. And I love to touch on that. But first, I wanted to ask you about something that's really near and dear to my heart, because you know that I'm part of the Pachamama Alliance. And the Pachamama Alliance was started by Lynn Twist. And Lynn Twist was one of the people starting the World Hunger Movement. And the word Pachamama here in America, we say Mother Earth, but the word Pachamama is an ancient Quechua word that means the earth, the sky, the universe, and all of time. And their mission statement is to create an environmentally sustainable, spiritually fulfilling, and socially just human presence on our planet, which to me is just perfect. But I have worked with the Cherokee and with the Lakota, and I have lived on the Crow Indian Reservation, and you and I were talking about the top of the show that I was actually down in Poplar Grove in West Virginia on Cherokee land that was built on crystal, you know, mines and on the Indian Reservation, and really finding the sacred ground there. And I know that you have spent a great deal of time and energy and effort working with your relationship to the indigenous and to the earth. And I would love to talk about that, because there's something so sacred and so beautiful in that for me.
Well, I always felt the strong bond. I don't know what it was, but it really kicked in with my activism when this gentleman, Chinupa Gluhampani, I actually introduced him to my business partner, Dr. Mooney, who authored the book, The Voice of the Wilderness, about it. And Chinupa had heard me on a blog club show and called me to see if there was anything I could do to help him under the circumstances that they're in right now, still, on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, which is the poorest area in the country. And I connected him with Dr. Mooney, and then through listening to different things. Two different times, I didn't have the money. I still don't, but I sent the check and to help him out in a situation where actually food was being donated and he didn't have the gas money to go pick it up. I mean, it's out in the country. It's hundreds of miles to go for the stuff. So I unexpectedly got reimbursement from a situation that was more than double what I sent to him at two different times. So there's the law of attraction truly at work. So on Dr. Mooney's website, attractingabetterlife.com, and on the WordPress site that you were alluding to before, there's artwork that Chinupa does, and he needs the money in advance. But if people could just open their heart and do something to buy an artwork, he doesn't keep a penny for himself. He uses it to help his grandmothers and children on the reservation. And when you do connect with Dr. Mooney or go into the archives of his blog book, Self Focus Change with Dr. Ed, and hear the stories of the horrors of what's going on there, it's corrupt indigenous half-breeds that are taking U.S. taxpayer dollars that we all pay into and diverting it for their own personal greed. And they're even trying to legalize alcohol on the reservation, which of course is poison. It's poison for the DNA of the indigenous people. So, but Chinupa, when I first brought him to Dr. Mooney, he really was in a rage, and sometimes it can get out of hand when he sees, because these horrors, you don't see them, but he sees them every day on the reservation, and he knows what the life of his people, because he was taught properly by his indigenous grandmother and grandfather by the way. So he's one of the last few that are preserving it, and his own people, he's very few that know how to speak the language, and when he speaks it, it's beautiful just to listen to it. So I Dr. Mooney, through his expertise with the law of attraction, and Dr. Mooney has three doctorates. He's a psychologist for over 40 years, has a doctorate in religion, a doctorate in theology, and is a Bible expert. He's really calmed the Chinupa down to the point where Chinupa's really going more with the love instead of the blaming and the chastising people. And that's, again, I hope that will carry over into the grandmothers eventually, because some of them even turn against them. It's just tragic. There was even an FBI agent investigating problems, and something happened there. She actually has a whistleblower lawsuit that will be coming into the court system pretty soon. But Dr. Mooney, being a former internal affairs police in the whole state of Florida, it's a perfect match. Julian Michael calls me a connector, so looks like I made a pretty good connection there. And again,
I'm sorry, I just wanted to jump in for just 1 second, just as you're sharing this, and it's such important information. But a couple times now on the show, you've mentioned Julian Michael. He was a dear friend of mine. And for those that are not familiar with Julian, which is so hard to believe because we love him and we relish him so much, but I would just love to, for those of you that have heard that name now a couple times as we've been listening to you speak, that share who Julian Michael is. because he is a profound light on this planet, and he is one, obviously, that has affected you and myself. I have brought him on this Unlimited Life show. I have brought him on my Hourglass Bride show. I have brought him on my television shows. I have dragged him around the world with me to conferences, to health seminars, to consciousness seminars, and he is noted as one of the top, if not the top, numerologist on the planet in the world today, but he is so much more. He is a reincarnation expert. He is intuit. He is an astrologer. He is a psychologist. He is a bridge between this world and the many worlds that are out there, but there is no numerologist in our lifetime or any in the past or even in the futures that we can see that have the gift and talents of Julian Michael. He is just one of the brightest, most brilliant lights and clearest beings around. And so as you have Hugh and hear Hugh mention his name, and Hugh, you can add in on this as well if there's anything you want to say about Julian. But for those of you who have listened now and said, who is Julian Michael? Are you now Googling him and not listening to you? I just wanted to share with you who Julian is, because he is definitely a special being to us. So,
well, it's fascinating what he does with numbers. Yeah, numbers are numbers to me, but he finds the meaning that is so accurate. And evidently, I have a pretty powerful birthday, and actually, I share the same year as Jack Canfield. My birthday is September 22nd, 1944, and I just learned recently, too, to just think coming to me, if you Google or Wikipedia Nathaniel Hale, who said, I regret that I have but one life to give to my country, and was executed at age 21 as a spy by the British Army during the Revolutionary War. He was born on September 22nd, 168 years before me. But I keep finding all these bizarre synchronicities. But again, related to Julian, one thing he constantly says in his newsletter, and this I hope people will really resonate with and come back to the show and again listen to the things that you tell them, Nicole. But Julian always says to pray for the leaders around the world. And you may not agree with them, but pray for them. You're not in their shoes. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes with all this stuff. So that raises the consciousness, and it may help take away some of the ego, just some of the things that are going on, like over in Russia right now with Ukraine. So sad to see all these flare-ups. But there, too, I want to see America really get back and heal the indigenous people here, which we've neglected. If we can start doing that and start spreading that down to Ecuador and all the places you've been around the world, and empowering the people to let them deal with their own countries in their own way. The people of any country are the most valuable asset, and that's what they have to understand. They don't need to wait for us to come in and then to impose our way of life on them if they don't want that. And too much has gone on with these big corporations that are just raping the resources out of the third world countries. That has to stop, and it will stop when people truly resonate every time they go out and they realize election day is not on certain days, but every single day you buy a product, you're actually casting a vote for the company that manufactured that product. So really think wisely about that and really investigate that. Is this company being transparent, and is it empowering their employees, their customers, and being good to the environment and giving back to the community? If they're not doing that, I'm starting a little packed in. Globally, and this is on the site creativity777.com in the letters that I have related to my first coming into contact with Julian Michael in 2008. It was about the when the Chinese were having the Olympics over in China, and I thought of why not have a worldwide business Olympics in the future and see every country putting up their best business to make a BLT sandwich, blogs, links, and transformations, openly, transparently, showing what their best company is in each country around the world. I think that would be even more important than the competition in sports where you get involved with all these steroids and macho and this and that. No, let's bring more love into the world with all these things that people that can't, are physically handicapped, that can't even get out to these games, but they can use their brains and sit and help companies with blog links and transformation make that BLT sandwich for their country and be proud of it.
Great. I just, your information is so clear and it's so impeccable, and thank you so much, because I love Julian and I'm so pleased that we're talking about him, having the opportunity for a new audience to learn about him and his amazing work, his incredible light, his impeccable information, and how much we absolutely adore him. So it's so great to be able to talk about that. And then I also remember reading something that you had about Deepak Chopra on his Occupy Wall Street statement. And
yes.
I was amazed that you even were in that realm. So can you want to talk about that a little?
Well, he really gave some excellent advice when Occupy Wall Street started, and it really resonated with me. He was right on with the information. He said that the occupiers should put their hand on their heart, close their eyes, and just envision the most beautiful, wonderful world that they could. But they didn't follow his advice. They point their fingers at stuff they don't know what they're pointing at, and that's proved out over time. So they can readjust and redo that if they want. Start it all over again. Maybe we can help them do that. They call from this show. Let's reactivate Occupy. Let's occupy love globally.
That's so fabulous. Yes, I think I love that, to put your hand on your heart and to imagine this incredible world or this incredible space. It's just glorious.
Was it getting close to the end? Are there any callers that want to come on and say hello? Or?
I have people that have been typing in. So, and actually I just had somebody, because I didn't think we were going to have time for them, but that's okay, because we will make sure that everybody's questions are answered. And I have a question about your background. I read somewhere that your family was in refrigeration. Was that true?
Well, that's another thing that I want to discuss with you related to my personal history. I'm the firstborn son of Harry Trollson Sr., who was the founder of Trollson and Company Incorporated. The website is Trollson, TRAULSEN.com. And he started the company in 1938. You'll see in the company history, during the Second World War, he was manufacturing metal containers to preserve food on the front line. And I worked for the company for about 7 years. I wasn't getting what I felt I needed out of the company, because the old German authoritarian, some people know what that's like. But anyway, it was interesting times. And my father was a busy guy. He actually was married 7 times, and his widow sold the company about a dozen years ago, the Hobart, which is very prestigiously known globally doing whole kitchens. But, yeah, Trollson is in schools, hospitals, hotels all around the country and around the world. And I would like, again, to work with my name recognition and Unicole on some of these hunger projects, because there's a lot, I think, that can be done that isn't being done with the strategies that I and Dr. Mahoney can tell you about. And we could bring it into the communities and prove it out, and then just keep expanding it around the world. And so, and there's no reason why anybody in this world should not have at least clean water, decent food, and a shelter. And we can shift all that. These trillionaires, if you're going to hoard it, you can't take it with you. And remember, karma wants to go back at the spirit be fully accountable. So I'm calling out on all these corporations to start doing the right thing and be transparent, because you're going to lose the business if you're not.
Well, I love your heart, and I love your message, Hugh. And I just wanted to recap some of the sites. So the www.hughtraulsen.wordpress.com. You also talked about the creativity777.com and the heaven on earth. .com and attractingabetterlife.com, all these wonderful resources, and now you're talking about Trollson.com. And, you know, I'm just reminding everybody that simply by picking up your phone and sending a text to 55678, the text is to 55678, and the message is simply Nicole, that you can get a download of today's show and of any of our past archive shows. So you gave so much information today, and I want to make sure that people can replay it and get this information back and clearly. So simply send a text to 55678, and the message is Nicole, and you can hear this entire show on your phone, on your computer, and get all of this information because, Hugh, everything you have to say is just so extraordinary and so special.
Well, again, I certainly thank you for hanging in there with me because, when I came into contact with you at first, I was ready for you. You weren't ready for me, but we are both parallel right on track right now. So thank you so much. Well, God bless you. You're really, truly an archangel like my wife. You're in my heart and prayers always, and we'll get there.
Well, thank you, and I carry in with me always. And as we have a couple minutes, is there any last message you would love to leave with the audience, that a way that they can care and share and have that unconditional love that you're so talking about?
Yes. I just want to say to people, I'll work with the audience, if you could put it as an add-on to the show page. Maya Angelou actually commented on my poem on a blog book show, and I have another friend who I would like to interact you with, Kathy Watson, who's in Chicago. She's 80 years old, and she's a marathon runner. She's constantly telling the seniors to get up off their A and do something, and she had Connie Francis as a guest on her show, and I never met Connie in person, but I did interact with her. Connie Francis was engaged to my father's corporate attorney when I was on active duty in the Air Force back in the day. So there's a lot of very interesting sideline stories that I have, and I keep surprising myself when I look back at my past, as you'll discover from that one other site that I'll give at the magazine interview. If you Google my name, Hugh Charleston, and put the words "a simple man with a big message," and look at the embedded website, the last one off Planet Radio, Hugh Charleston Synchromystic Encounters, has a lot of documents, including a front-page Wall Street Journal article with attachments. That was my whistleblower activity. And then there's an interview on that site and all kinds of stuff. So thank you again so much, Nicole, for thinking of me and having me come on with you today. You've just made my whole weekend. My heart is sinking. I have to calm it down. I think I'll go out in nature. Thank God for this opportunity.
We are so grateful for you. And like I said, you are a lighthouse, not just for myself, which you are indeed, but for the world. And it is always such an honor and a privilege and a blessing. And I thank you so much for your commitment and your heart and your spirit and your soul and your diligence and your determination and your support of everything that's good and everything that's pure and everything that's clear and everything that's light and mankind and all you do to really make each day special and our lives special and our world a better place to live. We are just really lucky and blessed to have you here on this planet. So thank you so much.
LightPartyY.com if you're talking about light. And if you don't know Dr. David, I think you'll enjoy him too.
Thank you for that, Hugh. And I wish you all the best. I really do. And thank you again for being with us today.
All right. And God bless you, Nicole. God bless everyone listening live in the archives. Please share this show. Caring and sharing is what it's all about. It just goes around the world. We can begin to transform and have a more peaceful, loving world without the wars, and just to, again, embrace the differences, and we can learn from each other and let people have, you don't have to agree with everything, but somebody may not agree with you, but if they give you the respect, maybe you'll learn something that you didn't think you'd learn before you gave them the opportunity to speak. So you always speak so eloquently, so beautifully, Nicole, and I hope people will keep coming back to all the archive shows with all the powerful, wonderful guests that bring forth with their knowledge and the beauty to help mankind.
Thank you. Thank you. So many blessings to you and love and light. And this is Nicole Brandon with Unlimited Life. And join us tomorrow for Tiffany Cano. She is extraordinary. She is an intuit. She is a healer. She is a light and a blessing beyond blessings. And, of course, much, much gratitude to Hugh Charleston and unconditional love and caring and sharing and the many messages of how to lead and live an unlimited life.